enlarged prostate, which can cause urinary problems that can be treated. If you have bothersome symptoms, speak to your doctor. A message from the American
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, and it is a rather wet forecast as we head through the next 2 or 3 days. The good news is, by the time we head into the upcoming holiday weekend, I think we begin to dry it out and maybe cool things down a little bit as well. Scatter showers and thunderstorms around 65 for tonight. Scatter showers and thunderstorms Wednesday and Thursday around 80 tomorrow, mid-80s into Thursday and Friday. And we'll continue that wet weather through Friday, but we dried out with lower humidity into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Michael Palmer from the Weather Channel.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of Muse Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's Tuesday night, the final Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is going to be a little bit odd and truncated and sort of harem scarum tonight because I'm attempt at human speech about 8 o'clock this evening. Of course, he will handpicked audience at Fort Bragg. Dissent will not be tolerated, and truth will not be told. And just how do I know this? Let me show you. Now this is from and I found this at my buddy's site WD40.com, WBYAD40.com. It's an Associated Press story. All right. I want you to hear how it's written. It's already out there. It has already been published. President Bush on Tuesday appealed for the nation's patience for, quote, difficult and dangerous, unquote, work ahead in Iraq, hoping a backdrop of U.S. troops and a reminder of Iraq's revived sovereignty would help him reclaim control of an issue that has eroded his popularity. In an evening address at an army base that has 9,300 troops in Iraq, Bush was acknowledging the toll of the 27-month-old war. At the same time, he aimed to persuade skeptical Americans that his strategy for victory needed only time, not changes, to be successful. Quote, "Like most Americans, I see the images of violence and bloodshed. Every picture is horrifying and the suffering is real," unquote, Bush said, according to excerpts released ahead of time by the White House. It is worth it. It was a tricky balancing act, believed necessary by White House advisors who have seen persistent insurgent attacks eat into American support for the war and for the president and increase discomfort among even Republicans on Capitol Hill. And it goes on for two pages like this. This the liberal media that the weirdos keep howling about? Now, I understand. Listen, I've been in the news business. I understand that some stuff, famous people already have their obituary and all that. But this is supposed to be a speech to the nation about the war. Puppy press can't even wait to see how many different words Chimpy mangles before they've got the puff pieces out. This is annoying. This is an abdication of any responsibility on the part of the Fourth Estate. Understand, they've already written the propaganda statement, and the Bush administration doesn't even have to bother. The AP will do it for them. Like I said the other night, I really would like to know where this liberal media is, because I'd like to watch it. Especially on TV. I'm all over the dial. ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC. I can't find it. Instead, I find more of this kind of garbage. Puff piece talking about George Bush's determined effort. Why do you have to write it in advance? Chew on that one for a minute. Why does AP Jennifer Lovin of the Associated Press, why does she have to write this in advance? Good people, the decent people, the liberal people, the progressive people, it has to be written in advance so that advance approval can be given from the White House. Because I'm sure that Jennifer Lovin cares about her career. Wouldn't want to say anything that would be, well, you know, upsetting to dear leader. Supposed to just say, well, okay, I guess that's the kind of country we live in. Right now, they're probably giving him the latest of his Xanax. What did Truman Capote say oh so many years ago when he got a hold of a copy?
This isn't writing, this is typing.
That, what I got in front of me from the Associated Press, that's not writing. That's typing. That is blind, servile obedience. Cutting sound bites out of, well, back then it would have been a gun. Cutting sound bites and writing copy as we went. While we had been provided excerpts in advance, felt like journalistically we still kind of had to do the work. No more. No more.
Get on.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's gardening guru. Bill, I'm thinking about planting a garden. Any tips on getting started?
Because gardening is a broad topic, Diane, here's a mnemonic to help. The word garden. Each letter stands for a different step. G is for ground. Prepare it by tilling and having a soil test done. A is for arrange. Arrange the layout of your garden before you plant. R is for research. Learn what grows well in your area from your local nursery. D is for dig. Create holes four times the seed's diameter. Cover the seeds and tamp down the earth. E is for encourage. Water and keep weed free. Vegetables need 1 to 1.5 inches of water a week. And N is for nurture. Monitor growth and enjoy the veggies of your labor.
So remember, just garden. Ground, arrange, research, dig, encourage, nurture. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. One little news item for you. Start this out with a little bit of... But anyway, well, wait. So, Chimpy's going to speak at 8. Or attempt to. We'll carry that live. I will, by dint of necessity, have to remain silent. But as soon as Chimpy the Stupid is done speaking, I'll be back. I'll be back on the air with you. So don't give up just because we have to run that blithering idiot. So this a wonderful, yeah. No, it's okay. It won't last long. Whenever Richard Corey went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman from sole to crown, clean favored, and imperially slim. He was always quietly arrayed, and he was always human when he talked. Richer than a king. and admirably schooled in every grace. In fine, we thought that he was everything to make us wish that we were in his place. So on we worked and waited for the light and went without the meat and cursed the bread. And Richard Corey, one calm summer, Bentonville, Arkansas today, according to company officials, Walmart Air. Yeah, there was a sneeze coming there, and I didn't want to subject you to it. John Walpin, Walmart Air, worth in excess of $20 billion, crashed his ultralight plane at takeoff. Phone number to get in touch with the program is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620. Bob has been waiting. Hey, Bob, you're head on. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Doing good.
All right. See where gas went up a dime again today?
Yeah, isn't that charming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When's it
it's not.
And when's Exxon BP record profits going to
not? Well, I don't know. Maybe we might slow them down if we could get a little, something a little less ham-fisted and greed-infested out of the White House. But as long as these, well, their mercy profits are going to go up and life is going to be very good for our betters. Oh, no. Yeah. Well, you know, remember that. Bob, did you see that quote from Dwight Eisenhower in 1954? We talked about it a little bit on the show, where he was talking about any party that tries to do away with Social Security would never be heard from again. Eisenhower went on to say, there are people who would like to eliminate Social Security, but most of them are a bunch of right-wing zealots and oil billionaires from Texas.
Well,
1954,
there you
Bob.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're dealing with here, and so gas is going to go up and up and up. It's going to destroy the economy of this country. Ultimately, it's going to destroy the middle class. And it will be cold comfort that when that time comes, you're not going to be able to find a single human being who will say the name George Bush without spitting on the ground. But cold comfort that is when you're trying to feed a family and buy gas to get to work at the same time.
Well, I saw a bumper sticker a few months
ago. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and stuck with it?
In large part, it is an addiction of our own choosing.
Yeah.
We like it. And I've never, you know, I can say as someone who is addicted to tobacco, I would like to not be addicted to tobacco because for the most part, I don't particularly enjoy it. On the other hand, I have never met a heroin junkie who thought that, who didn't think, when it was time for the fix, that heroin was the best thing in the world. That's the same thing with us and fossil fuels. You know, that it's possible to develop other energy sources or at least wean ourselves away from foreign oil. We don't want to do that. You know, George Bush talks about building 20 nuclear power plants or whatever. They're not going to run your car.
Three more islands can happen.
Yeah, but they're not going to build a little nuclear power plant to go in the back of your automobile and make it, you know, zoom sputtering along like George Jetson's. You know, what's the dealer always say? The first one's free, boy.
Yeah.
Well, we've lived through the generation of the first one's free. And now it's time to pay and pay and pay. And it put in extreme jeopardy. But again, it's something we have to think about, Bob, because you know, you reckon John Walton was thinking about fuel prices when his airplane went down, or all of his billions of dollars?
I wonder what was going through his head. I don't know.
Most likely the propeller, but
yeah.
Oh, that was just bad.
But,
I'm ashamed of myself.
You know when.
Mm-hmm.
Of fossil fuels.
Sure.
You know, that old ad, why can't you do such and such?
Yeah.
You know, how much technology did it take to put...
Bunch?
Yeah, a bunch. Yeah. You think somebody would come up with a technology that... it's already there.
It's there. We know how.
There.
But, you know, some of this you can blame on Detroit.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I believe in Buy American. If it's possible to buy an American car, much to my chagrin, my Dodge truck was built in Mexico. But the technology's there. But, you know, look, Detroit's not interested. You know, whether it's the hybrid gas electrics like Toyota and Honda are putting out there, or these highly efficient, really, really, enjoyable to drive diesels that Volkswagen is so good at. It's there. But Detroit doesn't want it because Detroit has been guided for the last 5 years and more by people from, and they've got them bought and paid for, senators, congressmen, presidents. Who's, you know. So, you know, it's something. It's one of those things that we have to do on our own. And you're right. Who, you know, my car gets 35 miles a gallon. Now who's the patriot? You know, at a time when we're paying, let's see, there was an interview, I think it was on Paul, gasoline from Kuwait to Baghdad, and I think he was getting maybe same route was also being run by Halliburton. They're getting $1.37 a gallon.
Yeah.
And so, that's our money.
Well, somebody's getting rich, and it's not me.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily, you know, and I don't think that Bob. I know you. I don't think you want to be rich.
No, I just want to live comfortably.
Yeah,
I don't want to go to the gas pump. I would rather get around with something that wouldn't pollute.
Well, you know, you can always get that Volkswagen diesel, and you can fill it with canola oil.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be a little bit more expensive, but at 60 miles a gallon, you know, maybe not so much. And, you know, when you drive around, your car just smells like French fries. Bob, we got to roll. Good to hear from you, man.
You too.
Take it easy.
All right, thank
later.
You.
And bottom of the hour break coming up now, a little news update from Carl Mack, followed by the Workers' Independent. More of your phone calls if you're so inclined, 252-6200, outside Beckley 800. Or, well, we could, what do you want to blab about as we run up to the big war is good speech at 8 o'clock? Boy, doesn't that just hang in your gut?
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Marine Water Survival Instructor failing in the death. A second man has been arrested in the death, says a man who apparently killed his wife and then himself may have been upset about a recent trip to see news. Here's the forecast then for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, still a chance of showers and thunderstorms, temperatures upper 60s to around 70. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms develop again, but not as warm tomorrow. Tomorrow's high in the upper 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Laura Miller.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters is joining the Change to WIN coalition of reform unions. The carpenters announced Monday that they're joining the coalition, adding 550,000 new members. Carpenters President Doug McCarron said the carpenters are proud to join with the most dynamic unions in the country in the Change to WIN coalition. That coalition, led by the Teamsters and the SEIU, wants the AFL-CIO to adopt significant reforms that will pour more resources into organizing new members. Three of the unions in the Change to Win coalition have been authorized by their members to leave the AFL-CIO if officers of those unions so choose. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa said that the Change to Win coalition is proud to be joining forces with the Carpenters Union because the status quo in labor can no longer stand. In May, an anonymous source told WIN the carpenters were about to rejoin the AFL-CIO. That source now says they were wrong about that. The source confused the carpenters paying back per capita dues to the AFL-CIO's Building Trades Council with reaffiliation.
Members of the Iraqi labor...
All three federations oppose the U.S. occupation and want foreign troops to leave their... U.S. companies often bring in foreign workers instead of hiring Iraqis. Rashid says,
the biggest obstacle we find in the labor force is that the working force is suffering from lack of basic services such as water, electricity, and other basic needs that are needed for reconstruction and for rebuilding the destroyed infrastructure.
In Hartford, Connecticut, I'm Melinda Tuhus.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. At least 6 million American workers can be defined as the working poor, working for wages. For the working poor, according to the report, union representatives were quoted in just 2% of the news stories sampled about the working poor, and corporate responsibility for doing something to solve the problem was almost never mentioned.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 25 minutes in front of 8 o'clock. This was set on. I'm Bob Kincaid. And a couple of things out there just to sort of, you know, think about, have fun with. We all remember the eminent domain ruling that came down from the Supreme Court, what, last week? Well, these people say it's not a prank. But you certainly have to love the irony involved here. This is just straight off their little press release. Dateline Weir, New Hampshire, and it went out over the PR web network. Could a hotel be built on the land owned by Supreme Court Justice David H. Souter? A new ruling by the Supreme Court, which was supported by, might allow it. A private developer is seeking to use this very law to build a hotel on Souter's land. Souter's vote in the Kelo versus City of New London decision allows city governments to take land from one private owner and give it to another if the government will generate greater tax revenue or other economic benefits when the land is developed by the new owner. On Monday, June 27th, that would be yesterday, Logan Darrow Clements faxed a request to Chip Meaney. And you think there's not a divine plan. Faxed a request to Chip Meaney, the code enforcement officer of the town of Weir, New Hampshire, seeking to start the application process to build a hotel on 34 Silly Hill, C-I-L-L-E-Y. Killy? Silly? Ah, come on. For purposes of the... It's silly. 34 Silly Hill Road. That would be the present address and location of Mr. Souter's home. Clements, who is in fact CEO of Freestar Media, LLC, points out that the city of Weir will certainly gain greater tax revenue and economic benefits with a hotel on 34 Silly Hill Road than allowing Mr. Souter to own the land. The proposed development, called the Lost Liberty Hotel, will feature the Just Desserts Cafe, and include a museum open to the public. Because you remember when they were throwing the 80-year-old couple out of their home there in New London, Connecticut, they said, well, you know, we're going to have a Coast Guard museum. That's better than any old, pretty old Victorian house that's been lived in by a bunch of old people. So the Lost Liberty Hotel is going to have a museum permanent with a permanent exhibit on the loss of freedom in America. And instead of a Gideon Bible, each guest will receive a free copy of Ayn Rand's novel Atlas Shrugged. Oh, these guys are good. Clements indicated that the hotel must be built on this particular piece of land because it is a unique site, being the home of someone largely responsible for destroying property rights for all Americans. Clements said, this is not a prank. The town of Weir has five people on the board of selectmen. If three of them vote to use the power of eminent domain to take this land from Mr. Souter, we can begin our hotel development. What he plans to do, Mr. Clements does, he wants to raise investment capital from wealthy, pro-liberty investors and draw up architectural plans. These plans would then be used to raise investment capital for the project, and he hopes that regular customers of the hotel might include supporters of the Institute for Justice and participants in the Free State Project, among others. it certainly has a satirical quality, but, you know, it could happen. Now, for my part, you know who needs a really big Walmart? Crawford, Texas needs a really big Walmart. Right smack dab on top of the Prairie Chapel Ranch. Because you will note the Bush White House was shockingly quiet about the ruling. If we, you know, if over in my neck of the woods, if we need a Walmart on top of our Civil War dead, well, you know, I think the Prairie Chapel Ranch would be a beautiful place for a super Walmart. Couldn't really do anything there. Who else needs a Walmart? Who else needs a Walmart right smack dab on top of them? Hey, you reckon Kenny Bunkport, Maine has a Walmart? With a beautiful ocean view? Because you do remember, it was George Bush the First, King George the First, who appointed Mr. Souter to the court. So, you know, go have a look. I don't know. Tell him you support a Walmart on at David. Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, right? Eh, or not. Now, they say that they need wealthy investors. I've got one in mind. How about George Soros? Now, if you listen to right-wing hate radio, which is so prevalent, can't hear his name without him being accused of some ungodly, heinous act. But I want you to see. Well, if you're a sports fan, maybe you're already. Apparently, George Soros has joined an ownership group led by entrepreneur Jonathan Ledecky, and they have put a bid in on the Washington Nationals. Because, you know, before they became the Nationals, of course, they were the Expos, and they were owned by all 29 owners of Major League Baseball franchises, sort of like a holding company. So, you know, I guess George Soros has decided that he'd like to have himself a baseball club. You know, from a little boy on, it was good enough for it was good enough for the chimp. He's going to be speaking, you know, the one that's going to be speaking a little bit. He did everything in his power to screw up the Texas Rangers. So here we have George Soros getting involved, you know, and it's not just him. It's George Soros and Jonathan Ledecky and a lot of other people who are nameless in this story. But George Soros is what matters. Now, here is the part you got to get your head around. Congressional Republicans, you know, the free market ones. We believe that the free market can solve all problems. Remember, let the money alone, let the money work, let the market operate as it should without unfair regulatory restrictions. Right? I mean, you know the Republican talking point on that. Well, all these free market Republicans have absolutely gotten their maiden forms in a twist. Because yesterday, these jerks threatened Major League Baseball. They said they would repeal baseball's antitrust exemption if George Soros is involved in buying the Washington Nationals. Now, that just chaps my butt. I mean, we know they're hypocrites. We expect them to be hypocrites, but, you know, every now and then they sort of up and really get in your face and prove what hypocrites they are. This guy has enough money to burn a herd of sopping wet elephants. Soros does. Who cares if he buys a baseball team? You know, moreover, I should think these ugly little hateful monkeys would be more than thrilled to see him waste his money on that instead of giving it to more progressive or liberal causes. Because that's what really gets them up, wound up real good. They can't stand the fact that somebody, you know, Murphy, how dare he? He's a billionaire. How could he possibly not be on our side? I cannot stand traitorous behavior in our class. Whatever shall we do? You see? That's what makes him so mad, is that he's got money and he's not on their side. And they don't think, you know, the rules are for everybody else except George Soros, but if George Soros wants to buy a baseball team, we'll repeal the antitrust exemption. We'll hold hearings. Isn't it about time we got a responsible Congress? Please, pretty please, somebody that'll actually pay attention to business. I think Major League Baseball understands the stakes, House Government Reform Chairman Tom Davis, Republican from Virginia, told the Washington publication. I don't think they want to get involved in the political fights. This is thuggery, you see? This is thuggery. Just blatant bullying, and who's going to stand up to it? My part, I think George Soros would be far better off spending his money on those liberal and progressive causes and helping out people who want to actually stand up and fight than buying a baseball team. I got to tell you, that's where, you know, he could change lives if he wished. A lot of these Republicans have to jump in there and just, you know, make rank hypocrites. That's why. Let's go to the phones. Paul's with us. Hey, Paul, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, just fine. Hey, have you got your bill on your homeowner's policy yet?
No, I haven't. Well, the boss takes care of that.
You're going to be in for a big surprise, my brother.
Really?
Mine increased over $400.
Good God.
My friend's increased $800.
You've been filing a bunch of that State Farm lightning lately, Paul?
I haven't filed but one claim in 20 years, and that was for help.
Well, that'll show you.
Won't it, though? Everybody's going to be in for a surprise when they get their bills.
But wait a minute. I thought we were making West Virginia safe for insurance companies.
Oh, we are.
I guess we just did, didn't we?
Remember, they don't come under antitrust laws, and neither does baseball.
Well, maybe if George Soros would threaten to buy an insurance company, we could get some help there.
Yeah, and it's like the governor's plan B.
Mm-hmm.
And the same, if he can't do it, he's got to have 10 advisors. One of them I went after before, and quite a few more.
I said it last night. Looking back on it now, it was wrestling, Paul.
Oh, it was. No question.
It was set up, and it was the grudge death match Texas chainsaw iron cage titanium glove battle royal.
Now Westinghouse wants to spend $5 billion to a British company to build the Chinese 4 nuclear reactors with our latest technology.
Aren't we nice?
Oh, we're the best in the world. You ought to hear them arguing on the House floor tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then you got Unical.
Yeah, I was going to say, have they gotten around to the Unical business yet?
The White House hasn't said anything, and according to our Secretary of the Treasury, is going to do nothing to bring this up.
Well, they're scared to death. I mean, we got to remember that the Bush family feels a lot more allegiance to the Chinese communists than they've ever felt to the United States.
Oh yeah, but you got to remember Unical's holdings. And they're in Mexico, all technology.
They're also in the Caspian Sea Basin as well.
Oh, Bob, that is the biggest oil reserve in the world.
And natural gas as well.
Yeah, it was kept secret. And I've only found out about it 4 years ago.
And, in fact, of course, the pipeline runs across Uzbekistan. Remember we've talked about our buddy Aslam Karimov, who boils his political opponents alive?
Right. And also Chechnya.
Yep.
They're sitting on a big oil reserve. Robo Industries no longer. They were aware of drilling. They went in. They said money was.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt it at all. That's like the testimony from the. I forget. Her name was Bunny something. Greengrass, or maybe.
Huh?
Testified before Congress about funding abuses in Iraq.
Huh?
They said there were. I believe she was referring. There were Halliburton contractors. You know, that means mercenaries.
Yeah.
They were literally playing football with wads of American $100 bills.
Yeah, and they also were feeding their troops of food.
You know, it's so funny. I talked about that story back when I was filling in for Dr. Bill,
mm-hmm.
and I got called up by right-wingers. How dare you talk about them that way?
It was on national news yesterday.
I know. Isn't it charming that it only takes 2 years?
Yeah. You know, and Robo Industries have been drilling here in this country, but no longer. They sold out. But they went in to western downstate New York and Pennsylvania, went back into the old centuries again. Now they're pumping more oil.
Well, that's what that Pittsburgh Post-Gazette story I had yesterday was talking about. They're talking now about drilling 20,000-foot holes.
You don't have to do that in West Virginia.
No, not at all.
In fact... See,
we've
the
got
the whole Appalachian Mountain Range from southern New York to the tip of Georgia is the oldest,
it is.
And it's loaded with oil. In fact, on the outer boundaries, and this has been about 7 years ago, Posey trucks for the old company that was here in Beckley towed explosives over to Ashland, and they put it in a hold of fractured gas well, and guess what came out?
Oil. I mean, we've got a significant oil patch. I mean, there's a reason mineral wells is called mineral wells.
Yeah.
And there are capped oil wells all over this state.
That's true.
That are, they could be producing, but there is a choice being made not to.
You know how all of these old coal companies and the rail companies, they bought up all the mineral rights back there in the turn of the century for
right.
50 cents.
Right.
And they've been sitting on it.
And when the time is right...
they'll shaft us again.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring you up on it. When everybody starts to get their bills for their home insurance, they're going to find out the shocker.
Well, but you know, maybe if. But do you see the setup coming, Paul?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The setup is that next year we'll have to pass some legislation to protect homeowners insurers from mean, nasty West Virginia consumers.
But it won't happen, Bob. Remember, you've got the tort reform law. You can't do a class action lawsuit.
Well, no, you can still sue individually.
Yeah.
So what we got to do is stop those individuals from suing, and then Joe Manchin will come out and tell us that the homeowners industry has promised that homeowners will see a $100 a year drop in their homeowners insurance premiums.
Well,
yeah. Well, no, that's the, no. See, Paul, that's the run up to the drop you're going to get next year.
Yep. And also, same thing for Medicaid. It's going to increase another $156 million next year for the next 13 years. How are we going to make that up?
Fiddling while Rome burned. That's what we're doing.
And he says, we don't pass this amendment just because of Medicaid cuts from the federal government.
Well, maybe, but in the long run, Paul, maybe not, simply because you got to remember, the ultimate goal is to eliminate Medicaid.
Well, that's true. And also Social Security and Medicare to go with.
Bingo. You got to kill it because it's sick.
And they're on the very track for it.
It's what they want. You know, this isn't the paranoid raving of Bob Kincaid. You can go and read it in their own words.
That's right. And I've got the laws to prove it.
You know, you can read them, you know, about Social Security. You can read that email where it says, the time has never been more ripe for destroying Social Security. We've waited for this a long time. Now we've got to strike while the iron's hot.
We've been taking it down the road since 1984.
Yeah.
And if people don't realize their 401ks or 120.
Always remember that Social Security passed both the House and the
1935.
Passed both houses of Congress without one single Republican vote.
That's right.
Yeah, it's coming up, and I'm just sitting here waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, the chicken hawk is going to speak. He wasn't fighting his own war, but now he's a hawk.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, and he's going to tell people like Cindy Sheehan, one of the Gold Star Mothers for Peace.
Yeah,
he's going to tell her it is worth it.
Yeah, you know the jets he flew in, the old F-102.
Yeah,
they were on their way. When he was flying them, they were putting them out in Arizona in the graveyard.
Oh yeah, they weren't even in operation in Vietnam.
We had one on display at the.
But we can't talk about that because that would be unfair, Paul. See, only their side of the fight is able to say rotten, nasty stuff about us.
Yeah. How you like your new chairs and your new mic?
I didn't get the new chair. I got the old chair. It got rotated around to me.
They've run out of money.
Hey, Paul, you have yourself a great night. Enjoy Chimpy's speech, will you?
Well, I'm doing a little planting some okra.
Oh! Oh, mercy, how I do love okra.
Yeah.
Pickled,
so
does
my grandson.
Yeah, pickled or fried or just about anything but boiled.
Anything but boiled. You got it.
All right, Paul, you take care.
You too, bud.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the okra in yet. I don't know. Maybe I got a little. Well, listen, we're going to take our top-of-the-hour break now. Supposedly, Monkey Boy is going to speak at 8. Done. I got a feeling we're going to have a lot of fun. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. As soon as he's done, do let's critique it. What do you say? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey! Chicken hawk. Chicken hawk. Chicken hawks, chicken hawks. Trent Lott, he didn't serve. Dick Cheney, he didn't serve. John Ashcroft, he didn't serve. And George Bush was AWOL. Chicken hawks, chicken hawks, chicken hawks, chicken hawks. Karl Rove, he didn't serve. Bill Graham, he didn't serve. Newt Gingrich, he. George Bush was AWOL. Chicken hawks, chicken hawks, chicken hawks, chicken hawks. Rush Limbaugh, he didn't serve. Tom DeLay, he didn't serve. Dick Armey, he didn't serve. And George Bush was AWOL. Chicken hawks, chicken hawks,
chicken hawks. Chicken hawks, chicken hawks.
Impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Head on.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn and garden show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I thought I'd get a jump on my garden this year, so I've got my garden tools
out. Wait, don't jump on your garden. Stopping isn't good for vegetables.
I meant that I'm ready to get a jump on digging.
Oh, in that case, why not skip digging altogether and use a tiller instead? With a walk-behind tiller, adjust the depth bar to just break the surface crust on the first go-round. Then set it for deeper tilling and move in an S pattern to keep the tiller from leaning to one side.
Well, how will I know when my bed is ready?
It should feel like chocolate cake. Crumbly. John Deere recommends mixing the soil to the maximum depth of the tiller without pulverizing the soil.
So this year I can skip digging and get a jump on my planting by using a tiller. Thanks for making my project a piece of cake. Tune in again to Bill Clutho to learn how to keep your garden green and growing.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
In the great scheme of things, a minute isn't all that much. Unless you happen to have a stroke. All of a sudden, those minutes count. Minutes that could mean losing your ability to talk. Minutes that could mean an arm that's basically useless. Minutes that could mean losing your ability to walk. Talking, moving, walking, gone. Which is why, if you can get help in time, your stroke can be treated. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience this, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
Can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Listen, it's coming up on 31 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, there goes 30 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Thanks, George. 30 minutes of Head On we'll never have again. Thanks, George, for all of that garbage. Oy vey. Listen, I haven't quite done getting the Listerine out of my mouth after the like cereal vomiting I did. Well, let's go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break, and then come back and well, let me know. Did you hear what I heard? Brother, 252-6200 outside Beckley 800-620-9967. Jump in, man. You don't get these opportunities very often. There was some choice garbage in that. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Raleigh County judge will decide this week whether the Washington, D.C.-based attorney of a local man charged with murder, two counts of first-degree murder and malicious wounding for the shootings of three MISA status, which allows out-of-state attorneys to represent local attorneys. The move came after Anderson wrote a worthless cheller, also accused Anderson and private investigator George Steele shootings. Keller says Steele also knowingly gave false statements. The Fayette County Sheriff's Office is investigating a robbery at the Division of Highways garage in Glen Ferris. Sheriff Bill Laird says someone broke into the garage. Sheriff Laird asks anyone who may have vehicles, or rather seen vehicles, 3590. That's the news. Here's the forecast for this evening. Still showers and thunderstorms in the forecast. For tonight, partly cloudy, with lows tonight near 60. Tomorrow, cooler tomorrow. Tomorrow's high in the mid-70s in the higher elevations and near 80. In the News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Ruby 94.1 is proud to welcome live in concert at the Paul Klein YMCA Youth Sports Complex in Beckley, the Association, and Billy Joe Royal. Part of the Whitewater Run Car Show, Saturday, July 23rd at 7 p.m. The Association and Billy Joe Royal.
Mary Hill used to hang out in Cherry Hill Park.
Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for kids, that are now available at Carriage Car Company, Harper Road, Beckley, and these Little General locations: Glen Daniel, Oak Hill, and in Beckley, Nalgene Square, Callaway Heights, and Staniford Road. Each Saturday night under the stars, brought to you by Massey Energy, Walker Machinery, Fairchild International, Superior Highwall Mining, Crown Holding, Klein Resources, Bluestone Coal Corporation, Friends of Coal, Cellular One GSM Phones by Motorola, and Rainy Ford. The Association and Billy Joe Royal live in concert Saturday, July 23rd at the Paul Klein YMCA Youth Sports Complex in Beckley. We'll see you there.
One thing you can say about George W. is that, by gollies, he's tough on terrorists, right? Well, that's what he tells us every chance he gets. Chief Legal Beagle Alberto Gonzalez, Bush declared that federal terrorism investigations have resulted in charges against more than half of those charged have been convicted. Wow, 200 convictions. Other agents each year to catch and stop terrorists here in America? Never mind debating Bush's 200 figure, however, for it's just another bloated Bushite number, be the people. The Washington Post has just done an analysis of the just 39. That's it. And nearly all of them are hardly super terrorists involved in real plots to harm Americans. The average sentence for these 39 is a mere 11 months. Big boast of convicting 200 terrorists is intentionally inflated by including people rounded up under the USA Patriot Law, but who are guilty only of minor infractions, having nothing to do with terrorism. For example, 10% of his number comes from the conviction of 20 Pennsylvania men, mostly from Iraq, who were guilty of a truck leasing scam. All of them were absolved 4 years ago of any ties to terrorism, but Bush still counts them. This is Jim Hightower saying, from outright lies about WMDs to having political operatives doctor scientific reports to paying so-called journalists for distorting our news to now ballooning its meager record on terrorism convictions, the Bushites will go down in history as the gang that couldn't speak straight.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Library.
Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, I stepped out on the veranda for a minute and I listened really, really carefully. I could hear the sound of mass vomiting all over America. God, that was just 30 minutes of absolutely nauseating crap. And the tail end of it,
show your support by flying the flag that you bought from the Shangwei Zhu Zhengzi flag company of Shangwei Zhu Zhengzi, China. You know, my uncle gets a cut on all of that.
Oh. And that DOD website? Is there anybody in this country dumb enough to go to that DOD website? I mean, the only people that would go to that government website, I mean, these are the same people who, actually believe they've just won a brand new Xbox and click the pop-up ad. Oh, brother. That line, I mean, it wasn't just a stupid speech. It wasn't just an ignorant speech. It wasn't just a duplicitous speech, a mendacious speech. It was also an outrageous speech. Have that sorry little waste of air on planet Earth suggest that there's no higher calling than service in our armed forces? I tend to believe that. But to have it come out of his dirty, filthy little draft-dodging, AWOL-going mouth?
Talking about the sacrifice. Many people ask, is it worth it? Let me tell you now, it is worth it. That's why my daughters are joining. Nah, just kidding. Bushes don't fight wars. That's what we let you little people do. Is that man just disgusting? Revolting? And by the way, were you counting? I was counting. How many times did he say 9/11? How many times did he say 9/11? Let's see. The first, just a couple of minutes in. The troops here and across the world are fighting a global war on terror. This war reached our shores on September 11, 2001. The terrorists who attacked us and the terrorists we faced murder in the name of totalitarian ideology. John Kepi could verify. He's doing it again! He's doing it again! He blamed Saddam for 9/11. Again. 5 times in the speech that I counted. We got a reference to 9/11 in regard to why we're in Iraq. Did you notice there was no... Our coalition partners in... Nope. Nary a peep. Can't mention Tony anymore because we know that he ginned it all up, and we know that Tony knew he ginned it all up. So this was designed to... Well, there was a whole lot of watch the birdie in this, wasn't there? Oh, and by the way, the Iraqi people who were brutally oppressed. Who wrote this cotton-picking speech anyway? Ninth grade journalism student? Brutally oppressed. Brutally murdered. Is it just me or brutally part just a little bit superfluous? Is there any other way to be oppressed than brutally? That's why it's oppression, isn't it? Woo! Okay, enough of me. Let's go to the phone. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening.
I don't know how good it is, but...
I watched it, you know, and I heard, and nothing he said surprised me.
No, it wasn't surprising.
But, I mean, Bob, listen, the man has a 52% rating against him, as far as that is the reason he's at Fort Bragg. And that is the reason he has chosen Men of Honor to use as a backdrop, which is something I bitterly resent. I really do. I mean, considering his own war record and considering his own level of service to his country, for him to use those brave soldiers as a backdrop to promote a speech like it's so beautiful, why the hell ain't everybody over there?
Why aren't his daughters?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, it's typical demagoguery. And it's a typical...
Well, Jim...
I just don't think it's going to... I really don't think that it's a very effective speech.
No, for all my carrying on, Jim, I was actually listening, trying to see if there was anything even remotely inspiring there.
And there was nothing, not to my knowledge.
It was...
Not to my ears. I didn't hear it. And, you know...
it had all the appeal of a whorehouse piano.
Well, you know... I spent some lovely times at Fort Bragg, and those guys leave for office, they just jump out of the third-story window, and it's a convertible, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty tough people up there. They did some pretty tough training at Fort Bragg. I'm sure there were some men in that audience who probably had some misgivings about what this man was saying to them. Of course, they're bound, but it was just more of the same, nothing really remarkable. But I don't think it's going to really help him a great deal. I really don't think so. You got to have to measure terms of success in terms of kilowatts, gallons, or liters of pure water, and the repairing of an infrastructure, which really, in my opinion, except in certain isolated places that are heavily protected and guarded, and then those have no reassurance. I mean, let's face it, these people in Iraq are living almost in the Stone Age.
Well, yeah, and and he had that line in there, that we were rebuilding Iraq after 3 decades. Jim, are the American people gullible, stupid enough to believe that Saddam was out there tearing down his own infrastructure? You know, we're rebuilding Iraq because we broke it. You remember all the talk about the Pottery Barn rule? You know, you broke it, you bought it?
Oh, yeah, I know. But you see, the American people have been so ill-informed and so brainwashed that they can't see through the haze and the smoke and the mirrors of this thing to really realize that, you know, Saddam was our great buddy when we needed him. And we certainly didn't care about what he was doing then as long as he was our SOB. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's the thing that really gets my joke. And it just makes me very angry to see him use those men and women who are men and women of honor and fortitude and dignity have agreed voluntarily to place themselves in a profession which could put them in 24 hours, rapid deployment, in any hot spot in the world, and to see him use them like state says. I don't like that. That makes me angry.
It's dirty, Jim. It's dirty. It's pornographic. It's obscene.
It isn't the thing I would like to have seen. I said I was not going to watch it, but I did watch it. And I happened to just say, well, let's hear how he tries to weasel out of this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, this speech I don't think is going to impact significantly on the numbers of people who are against the prosecution of this war in its present form. And I think you're going to see a continued movement grow for some type of schedule withdrawal and exit strategy.
Well, and see, even
because Cheney said we're going to be there for at least 12 more years. And the American economy, and the American morale, and the American spirit simply cannot sustain. They cannot sustain that type of drain and that type of pressure other things in the rest of the world. We simply can't do it.
Well, it was there were so many offensive things, and just, you know, again, mendacity, duplicity. He said we can't have a schedule for withdrawal because that would send a wrong signal to the, you know, when you've got a deadline and you've got to get it done by the deadline, could the same thing not be said for the Iraqi forces? You know, look, by this time next year, you have got to be up and functioning, and you've got to do everything you can between now and then, because then we're leaving.
Well, Bob, you know, look at what happened in Vietnam. The soldiers of the Republic of South Vietnam were not able to sustain incursions from the North, and therefore we finally had to leave.
Yeah.
And when we left, and when the regime, which we were propping up with our bayonets, no longer had that support.
Well,
that
and you know that business about 160,000 Iraqi troops under arms. You know that was a lie, right?
That's not true. That's not, you know, they might be under arms, but I don't know what level of training and readiness.
Well, he said they were trained and ready.
Well, I think it's not the first time that we've seen the truth twisted and perverted. But, you know, I'm going to this. I know you've got a lot of people who want to talk to you, and I don't want to hog your conversations tonight. But I'm going to say this here. Almighty God has created the mind free so that all attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burdens or civil incapacitations tend only to beget habits of hypocrisy and meanness. And that is from Thomas Jefferson, Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. I care about it.
Yeah, I do.
There are a lot of people who still care about it. And I think this is a...
We need to get a little bit noisier.
Well, that too will come. I mean, this too will pass. And, you know, these people will have had their day in the sun. And they will be found out for what they are. They will be found wanting in the balance. Already the handwriting is on the wall. And already Mr. Bush and his friends, they don't know it. Whether they don't want to realize it or not, they are attending Belshazzar's feast.
And the moving and the
all your piety and all your wit, change a single word and they cancel. That's the legacy he will leave in this country in history, and history will not cancel half a line because it'll be there.
Yep.
I appreciate you. You take care of yourself, and I'm just rereading this book by Randy Shields, Conduct and Becoming.
Uh-huh.
And it is absolutely a book that you need to go to the library and pick up, my friend.
I'll see if I can't have them order it up.
I have a copy of it down there.
Oh, do they? Okay, I'll see if I can't lay my hands on it the next day or so.
Good read it. I think you need to be well. You know, I think it would behoove you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the suggestion. I'm listening.
Well, you know, and the band played on. That's a good one too.
No, oh, yes, well,
he's not around to collect his kudos. God bless him, but he left us. But nonetheless, I bid you good night, sir, and I wish you well.
All right, take it easy, Jim. Thanks.
And could you leave me alone so I could listen a little while?
Sure can.
Not off here.
No problem at all, Jim.
Thank
Stand
you.
By. All right. Let's see. Just up to the line of telling a bald-faced lie, and then many terrorists who kill innocent men, women, and children on the streets of Baghdad are followers of the same. First of all, he should never be allowed to even mention the people who, the for instance, do know, of course, and I've mentioned it before, virtually every single first responder who died, was injured, had their life ever. Those were all union members. Those were all, or that man despises anyone who is part of organized labor. And for that reason, if for no, but you clearly understand, he was trying to gain back the, whatever it was, 73% of Fox viewers who believed that that Saddam had something to do with 9/11. He was trying to get them back into the ignorant fold with that line. Any terrorists who kill innocent men, women, and children in the streets of Baghdad are followers of the same murderous ideology. Liar. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Now, however, as with anything Bush says, there is a kernel of truth in there, and the kernel of truth is this. That yes, there is a murderous ideology. It's called Wahhabism. It is centered and led and run from Saudi Arabia. So he goes on and he mentions that the suicide bombers in Iraq, ruthless killers converging on Iraq from Saudi Arabia, Iran, Yemen, Syria, blah, blah, blah. But what he doesn't tell you is that those ruthless killers that are converging on Iraq are mostly from Saudi Arabia, just as 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. And all of them, yes, Wahhabists. An evil, hateful perversion of Islam, along the lines of the evil, hateful perversion of Christianity that is perpetrated by the likes of Jerry Falwell and Dobson and those creatures of evil. Okay? So you've got to know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with this dirty little pack of liars. By the way, 45% of the suicide bombers are from outside Iraq. Most of those are Saudis. But do the math, the other 55. Hey, Wes, you're head on. Hey, Wes. Wes, you got to turn the radio down.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, got to turn the radio off, man.
Okay, you know, I just turned it down, you know, because, you know, I thought you and, you know, because, you know, you and Jim kind of go on and on, you know. But, you know, really, we was protesting this war up in Shoemaker Square.
Oh, I know.
I don't remember seeing you there or Jim before the bombs ever dropped.
No, I was at other protests. I wasn't at Shoemaker Square.
Okay, but we was doing it, you know, in November. We already knew what was going to happen.
Sure.
We already see what this, you know, guy from Texas with the shotguns, you know, and you know, the police gun, you know, Rodney's horse, cowboy, you know. He's actually not from Texas.
No, he's from Connecticut, and he can't ride a horse. He can't ride a horse either.
Exactly.
He's scared to death of
him. He's, you know, if you pull a silver spoon out of his mouth.
Well, the silver spoon's in his nose, but that's a different issue.
Well, beside the point. So, you know, let's not cry about the war, because we tried to stop it. Thank you very much. You know, really. And, you know, I went up there, you know, people would rather look at old cars and stuff. There was 1,000 people up there the other day.
Yeah.
There should have been 10,000 people before this war started saying, don't do it.
Well, but the thing is,
There's 1,700 mothers right now.
Yeah, that are with them.
And where is my child?
Yeah, how many, and frankly, Wesley, you can ask the question, of those who are maimed who have come home from this war, how many of them are wishing that they, you know, that they had been otherwise?
Well, they sold them a bill of...
It's nothing but lies, Wes. It's nothing but lies.
They can't meet their quota right now to get the people to go to war.
Yeah, I'm sure this one really hasn't made it out there, but guess what? The Army National Guard has partnered up with Labor Ready, a provider of temporary jobs for unskilled workers, to try to recruit people. They have gone to an employment agency trying to get people in now. What does that tell you?
Well, when I went to see the great car race the other day, guess who sponsored that? Every little car that went through there. They're all millionaires. They got time to drive their car across country and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Army National Guard.
Not surprising.
They all tattoo on every car right by.
They're desperate, Wes. They're desperate. They're absolutely desperate. And we can't be quiet about the war. Because if we're,
you know, I'm not going to stop, you know, really.
Yeah, if we get quiet about this, it'll make it easier to start one in Iran or in Syria.
Sure, and that's what stopped him. And, you know, all the people, I'm over here in Precinct 12, and these old ladies, I told them, I said, well, you know, they just loved him. They had their little bush signs on their front yards, and they come down and they said, Wesley, you're right.
Yeah.
When he started taking their Social Security and stuff.
Right. Well, then, and to a certain extent, that's what's turned the lights on for a lot of people.
There's no lights on in America.
Well, no, a lot of people are beginning to figure it out. I mean, with the number of people that are out there saying the lights are coming on, but, you know, it's just, you know, it's great after the fact, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you're much younger than I am.
A little bit, yeah.
But, you know, I remember Vietnam.
Yeah.
And it's the same deal.
Right.
And I can't tell the difference, you know, I'm a Democrat, between Lyndon Johnson and Bush. They're both from Texas, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, it's interesting you had mentioned that. I got something here that'll confirm what you were just exactly. Appreciate the call, Wes. We gotta go to the top of the hour break. All right, and when we come back, WB and LBJ. Not a lot, apparently.
According to research from the Star, Debit, and ATM Network, one in six people are victims of identity theft, and the newest scam is phishing, spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Be on guard. Visit phishinginfo.org to learn more. A message from the National Consumers League.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
According to research from the Star, Debit, and ATM Network, one in six people are victims of identity theft, and the newest scam is phishing, spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Be on guard. Visit phishinginfo.org to learn more. A message from the National Consumers League.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. And now, here's the five-day forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, and it is a rather wet forecast as we head through the next two or three days. The good news is, by the time we head into the upcoming holiday weekend, I think we begin to dry it out and maybe cool things down a little bit as well. Scatter showers and thunderstorms around 65 for tonight. Scatter showers and thunderstorms Wednesday and Thursday around 80 tomorrow, mid-80s into Thursday and Friday. And we'll continue that wet weather through Friday, but we dried out with lower humidity into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Michael Palmer from the Weather Channel.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Okie dokie. Welcome back. I promised you. Listen to these quotes. The administration should clarify its intent. People lack confidence in the credibility of our government. Even our allies are beginning to suspect what we say. It's a difficult thing today to be informed about our government, even without all the secrecy. With the secrecy, it's impossible. The American people will do what's right when they have the information they need. Then there's this. I do, however, believe it is important to the future of our nation to recognize that there is a problem of credibility today. I concur in the conclusion expressed in the editorial that the people of the United States must know not only how their country became involved in war, but where we are heading. Accurate judgment is predicated on accurate information. Government has an obligation to present information to the public promptly and accurately so that the public's evaluation of government activities is not distorted. Political pundits speak of the credibility gap in the present administration. Indeed, this appellation is so widespread that it has become a household word.
I can't believe somebody'd be so un-American as to say that about our president's administration. That's un-American.
Those are the words, each and every last one of them. Go to the phones real quick. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Peter's with us from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, good to hear from you.
Good evening, Bob. It's good to hear your show. How are you?
I'm getting along, I guess.
Well, good. Bob, this evening I was listening to the evening news, the ABC and CBS and NBC, and I was flipping between the channels and trying to get the evening news, but tonight it hit me kind of hard, the fact that the channels are not covering the news in the sense that what's really going on with things like Downing Street memos and the Halliburton corruption, and it's just mind-boggling what's not being covered. And Bob, it hit me so hard this evening that I literally just broke down and I wept. I've been through this evening news thing, you know, I'm a grown man time after time, you know, and gas, and you know that it's all, you know, corporate advertising and who pays the bills and that sort of thing, but it just really broke my heart this evening. I literally wept. And, you know, part of it, Bob, was I think the fact that you'll be leaving soon was part of that, because you are one of the few lights that we have out there that's actually telling people the truth of what's going on. And I just want you to know that I will sorely miss you.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's very kind. I'm like everybody else. You know, I tune in Air America or something like that just to know that I'm not isolated. And the sense of isolation for anyone who doesn't agree with this bloodthirsty regime in Washington is profound. And it is heartbreaking, and it will drive you to tears. And you know, they're not necessarily always tears of grief. Some of them are tears of rage, Peter.
There was some anger there, too.
Yeah, and because well, like I said before I went to the phones, have you seen this story out there about the fact in Iraq? Okay, Peter, in Iraq, American military officials have sat down in talks with the people that we call the terrorists.
Not a word of it have I heard on the news.
No. And again, it you know, all I can, and I'm like you, you know, it's not that you live in the past, but it's the past is the past is the canvas upon which we paint the present. And as such, you know, I read that story, and all I could hear was that evil, old, greasy-headed man in the 80s saying, well, we do not negotiate with the terrorists.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, that's so.
And it's all, how many, what happens, what does it take, Peter, to enlighten the American people to the point that we just decide that we're not going to run around reading all of our past mistakes over and over again?
Over and over, and it will remain that way, and that's what makes it so easy for the administration to rewrite history on the fly, because nobody's informed what's going on in the first place. It's easy to rewrite it.
Yeah, all these,
it's almost a blank slate anyway.
All these quotes from Rumsfeld, you know, I don't like the man. I wouldn't throw a warm bucket of slop on him if he was burning up.
Oh, I despise him.
But the fact is, these quotes of his from 1966 and 65 and 67, they're truth. I mean, the administration should clarify its intent. People lack confidence in the credibility of our government. Even our allies are beginning to suspect what we say. It's a difficult thing today being for you. That's true. It was true in 1966. It is true today. And why was it good enough then, but now that he's in the catbird seat, we don't deserve that kind of credibility now?
Exactly. Much of what they say is based on convenience. It's based on profit. And it's in the case of George Bush, he lies because he's always lied, and deceit has always gotten him through. From the time he was in college to his shenanigans and growing up, the DUIs, the theft of a Christmas tree from a hotel lobby, changing, getting a new driver's license number. Who do you know that's ever done anything bad or has any sort of criminal record that got a new driver's license number to conceal the truth? Always lies. They've always gotten by with it. Money and corruption. There's no grounding in reality. It's all about them.
You know, Peter, you think back and told a whole lot about his childhood, you know, his infancy. But I often wonder, Peter, how much a part it played in his existence when his baby sister, he had a baby sister named Robin Bush, and she was diagnosed, and her evil, evil, hateful parents, and those are hateful people.
Well, I
think more Barbara than George.
Well, I don't know if she birthed Junior.
Right.
Much time to say about her.
So the child had leukemia,
and they took her away from her little. Her, I mean, he was you know, maybe five, and they just left him with the neighbors. And when they began, it began with his parents lying to him. And of course, we have to remember on the very day that they buried that little girl, Barbara and George were on the golf course. I don't know necessarily what your background is, Peter, but do you think that might be enough to wreck a little psyche?
Well, absolutely. That pretty much devalues life from a child's point of view. It has to be shocking for a child being innocent, and that would have to just about be the breaking straw, I'd say.
And they wouldn't talk with him about it. They wouldn't explain it to him, and they wouldn't, you know, and he was not allowed to mention her either.
Really? This is a chapter I completely did not know about.
Very few. You find very few people talking about it. I mean, but they were living, the Bushes were living in Texas, and they flew the child. You know, I'm not criticizing the attempt to make her well. God knows.
Yes.
But they flew her to, maybe Sloan Kettering or whatever in New York City?
Yeah.
And literally dumped him on the neighbors. You know that I'm not making excuses for the man from any stretch of the imagination, but if we want to know why he is the way he is, when life is cheap and life is made cheap to you when you're five, what's it going to be when you're 55?
Well, healing of the psyche, but he needs to heal his psyche somewhere out of the public eye.
Yeah, he needs to heal it on his own dime, too.
Absolutely.
And work, you know, frankly, working out all the Oedipal garbage he's got going on with his daddy I don't want to see him heal his psychic wounds either. I mean, we know now from the guy who was his biographer. The guy was talking about invading Iraq even when he was governor of Texas.
Yes, that I heard about. Amazing stuff.
And yet, you know, a stained blue dress was enough for an impeachment, but this guy we give a pass to.
Yes, that's part of the whole evening news upset for me, is the huge amount of attention that went on for years for Whitewater, where there was no criminal offense, there was nothing wrong there. The stained blue dress, a man lied about something any husband would lie to his wife about, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And Bush is absolutely ruining the economy and stealing from people and lying and killing sons and daughters and my God, how could this happen? I can't believe that I'm living in a world that this is happening in. I'm 53 years old and I was alive when Kennedy was shot, and I was alive when Martin Luther King was shot. I remember exactly where I was. I remember exactly what I was doing on both occasions. And you know what? The day that Bush was declared president by the courts in 2000, I remember exactly where I was and exactly what I was doing. It was that big of a deal to me. And not to diminish Kennedy's death or King's death, but it has gone. The difference between where we were when he was elected and where we are now in the way people treat each other, and the way people communicate is astronomical. The world's gone to hell.
Yeah, it has. Peter, so good to talk to you. We've got to hit the break, but I appreciate your kind words. I truly do. I'm gonna be a really lonesome fella come Friday night.
You will be. You gotta be lonesome, dude. You give so much. It's gotta be like hitting the brakes real hard.
It the little id part of me. Come Friday night, wants to get all George Thorogood, and you know, I drink alone, but in and in.
Oh God, oh, dear Lord! Don't let us read that shit in the paper. Remember that Mike Malloy was without work for months and months and months and months before he got another gig.
Oh, I know, and I'm not giving up. I think there's something out there, and I'm working on it even as we speak. But Friday night is gonna suck. I mean, that's the only thing you can say.
It's got to. It's got to be hard walking out of there. And it's your love, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
A fellow. I don't know. I feel a little bit like
George Bailey at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. You know, a man who has friends is the richest man on earth. I'm feeling these last couple of weeks, I've been made to feel pretty wealthy. Thanks, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Take
good
care.
Night.
The break, and then we'll come back to more of your calls. 252-6200.
Hey, this is Tim Berry at Mount State University Softball, inviting everyone out for the King and East Court four-man softball show's 60th anniversary tour. This year, the King and East Court will appear at Warren Williams Stadium on Thursday, July 7th at 7 p.m. Advanced ticket price is $7, can be purchased at Spartan Sporting Goods, Appalachian Drive, Beckley, West Virginia. Little General store locations at Nalgene Square, Glen Daniels, West Virginia, Stanford Road, 3rd Avenue, and Callaway Heights. And you can get them from the Mount State University Bookstore, Neville Street in Beckley. The King East Court Softball Show is sponsored by Southern Communications Incorporated, JanCare Ambulance, Michael Green Kennels, Phillips Technologies, Inc., Mount State University, Spartan Sporting Goods, and Sleep Inn in Beaver. Remember, that's the King and East Court four-man softball show 60th anniversary tour, Thursday, July 7th at 7 p.m. at Warren Williams Stadium. Get your tickets in advance or pay $12 at the gate.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is Healthy. In 2003, more than 100 million Americans spent almost $20 billion on dietary supplements. Despite the public's ongoing love affair with them, scientists and researchers at the National Institute of Health's Office of Dietary Supplements, or ODS, are still working to determine the role these nutrients play in health and disease. Dr. Paul Coates is director of the ODS.
The Office of Dietary Supplements is at the NIH, and in that respect, it has the same mission as GERD's needs are legion. They range all the way from basic characterization of compounds that go into a dietary supplement.
For more information, visit ods.od.nih.gov. I'm Phil Stevenson for HealthBeat.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. Yeah, I mean, I've always tried to be candid with you guys. Friday's going to bite. Let's see. Monday's the 4th of July, so I wouldn't be here anyway. So that's one of those pulled-through kind of days. Tuesday's going to suck a lot. So is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The following Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's going to stink for a long, long time until I get this this gig back up and running again. And it's ooh, I'm on the radio. You know, I got over that the first time I heard my voice in a recording. Once you hear your voice recorded the first time, if you can get over that, you can move on. So not particularly enamored of being behind a microphone, but I'm awfully, awfully. Hey, did you hear there was a shark attack yesterday? Ugh. Haven't heard a word out of Michael Jackson. Trish is with us. Hey, Trish, you're head on. Trish.
Yes.
There you are.
Oh, you're so hard to hear.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm going out of town the rest of this week.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'll get a chance to call you tomorrow night or not.
Okay.
I think the reason why, when you ask your government a question and they don't answer it, don't let them use a bully pulpit to get you over on something else. You make sure you keep asking that question and asking that question. It doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat president or a Republican.
He said this?
So you get the answer.
Rumsfeld said this?
Yes, he did. You go back and check it.
I don't doubt you in the least, but I guess that all doesn't apply now, does it, Trish?
And, well, you have to realize he only does what the president tells him he can do.
Well, I don't know. I might take issue with you a little bit, Trish, because my view of George Bush is not that he is up there being a commander, okay? He's a puppet, and his strings are being pulled. And you got to remember, before, you know, George Bush never signed on to the Project for a New American Century, but Rumsfeld did, and Cheney did, and Pearl did, and Wolfowitz did.
True.
And those are the that's the government. Those are the people making policy.
I was not for going to a war in Iraq. I think Saudi Arabia government handled that $1 million to
Bin Laden.
The one that was over New York, what was his name?
You mean Giuliani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He handed it back to him. You know who the Sauds gave that money to?
No.
George Bush Sr., and he gave it to his alma mater. And that is a fact.
Oh, brother. I never caught up with the back end of that.
Yeah, that's what happened to that $1 million. I was going to give you the name of the individual who had a Wolf Food contract. Now, he has went up to the Senate, this new Senate, who wants to have a hearing on the oil for food contract that says they don't know where the contract is.
Mm-hmm.
He has it, the original.
Okay.
Now, I do not want anyone to say that I am blasting Hillary Clinton. That is not true.
Okay.
The government had her to fix up the draft, and everyone was involved in it. The gentleman's name who... And he went to this new Congress that wanted to have the, I have the original draft, come and read it. Once they do that, the names of every congressman and senator who was involved in that awful food scandal, then he will be able to give that information to the media and how much they received. But until then, he said the government would, well, you know how the government
well,
is.
What's his name, Trish?
Okay, his name is Larry Nichols, the CIA agent. Let me look here in my notes, because he said not to say no more than you did. The government will come after you for this. So I wrote down no more than he said. I caught the tail end of all of this. I don't know how long he was on, but anyway, I caught the tail end. The CIA agent is underground, and he'll come for Bob Lowry. That is the name of the CIA agent. Because members of the House and the Senate, now I don't know which members, but their names are on this document. About vouchers. Those vouchers they gave to the big oil men. The big oil men gave them kickbacks. That money had to get cleaned up so it didn't go into the World Bank, he said. Or it would have been questioned. So it went into the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve, as you know, is not part of the federal government.
No.
They are an independent organization, and they are foreigners, and I guess that Greenspan sits on that individual.
Yeah, he's the chairman of the Fed.
He really doesn't have a lot of say-so, you know. Anyway, some asked him to put it up on the Internet, and he said the government would, this thing as if it wasn't important by the time all of those hundreds of documents came out, that the American people wouldn't pay any attention.
Well, you know, we already know, Trish, that among other people, Halliburton was up to its hairy little knuckles.
Oh, absolutely.
In oil for food.
They
and
asked
so
him,
the whole purpose of pointing fingers at Kofi Annan's son was to
Kofi
divert.
Kofi Annan was involved in it, so
but
was the UN. He named the individual.
But most of that business was for purposes of diverting attention away from Halliburton, away from Cheney, away from oodles of Americans who were, like I said, just absolutely filthy with it. I'm trying to. Oh, who was the guy that appeared before Congress just a month or so ago? The Scotsman, former the member of Parliament in Britain. That
I don't know. I wasn't in town.
Yeah, he sat there and made a Senate committee hearing eat it, and just hammered the Republicans in the Senate who had defamed him so very very thoroughly. And told them, you know, he said, listen, you know, I've been accused of meeting with Saddam and taking the oil for food money. He said, I have met with Saddam precisely one time less than Donald Rumsfeld has.
Well, this money was cleaned up by the Federal Reserve, charged 20% to clean up that money. It was also put into the New York banks. They asked him, and then the lobbying firms were involved in it, political law was, because he had a lot to say about it.
Okay.
And that money, all of these New York banks had to go overseas, and you had to bag that money into other countries and other places. Those two bag men was Mark Rich, and the other one was Montel Ricciardi. He is a arms dealer throughout the world. And he said Hillary Clinton never planned on running for president. That was never her goal. Her goal was that Bill Clinton would be over the UN, but it was never her goal to run for president.
Well, I'm not, I've seen a whole bunch of Hillary stuff, and frankly, I dismiss most of it, Trish. Like this Ed Klein character's book, you know, nothing but a pure nasty hatchet job.
There are a lot. Of, I mean, the Get Hillary Club is still alive and well. I'm past where I got to take my break, though, Trish. You have a good trip out of town, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good talking to you. Bye now. Let's see. Please stick around if you're on hold. We'll come back right after our break and go right back to the phones. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A marine water survival and stewing in the death. A second man has been arrested, and the doctor says a man who apparently killed his wife and then himself may have been upset about a recent trip to sea. News. Here's the forecast then for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, still a chance of showers and thunderstorms, temperatures upper 60s to around 70. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms develop again, but not as warm tomorrow. Tomorrow's high in the upper 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Landscape Fabrics. Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed, the continuous release plant food that feeds for 3 months. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Shake a little, grow a lot. Do you like to weed? Well, getting out in the fresh air and pulling up weeds sometimes can be cathartic. It's not something most gardeners want to spend their days doing. Well, one of the best ways to control weeds is with Landscape Fabrics. They're a great labor and time saver in your garden. Landscape Fabrics are just that. Special fabrics you put down on the ground to prevent weed seeds from taking hold and sprouting. And since they're fabrics, not plastic, they can let air and water through. There are several brands on the market now that can last up to 5 years. Look for a fabric with small pores. If you have products to compare, just hold up the samples to the light. Choose the ones with less light coming through. Before you lay down the fabric, however, it's important to prepare the soil. Otherwise, existing weeds could go right through it and your work will be for naught. First, remove any weeds you might see growing, then till the soil and rake it flat. It's also a good idea to put down a pre-emergent weed control at this time, kind of like a double whammy against weeds. Then, do whatever planting you're going to do in the area. Lastly, carefully cut and put down the landscape fabric. For aesthetic reasons, apply some mulch on top, but no more than an inch. Otherwise, you could have weeds taking root in the mulch. If you're looking for great results in your garden, without a lot of work, try Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. It shakes on dry in just a few minutes, and then feeds your plants continuously for 3 months. It's the quickest, easiest way to get Miracle-Gro results. I'm Peter Strauss, asking you to join me again for another edition of Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Absolutely. All right. Well, 22 minutes before 10 o'clock here in beautiful, dark, uptown Beckley. So I'd say, you know, we got a good 19, 20 minutes worth of chatting left. Let's go straight to the phones. Paul's calling from Boston. Hey, Paul, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
I'm good. This is Dr. Bill O'Brien's brother.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, thank you for calling.
Oh, I just wanted to wish you the best, you know. I'm sorry to hear you leaving.
It's been kind of tough to swallow, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Is there something on the horizon?
I hope there is. Right now it's a very distant sail, but what we're hoping to do is bring the show back in maybe 2 or 3 months in a different incarnation and go from there.
That would be wonderful.
Of course, you know, the Internet's going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, right.
But we're hoping to pick up a couple of...
I've enjoyed... you know, I listen occasionally and enjoy it very much. And, you know...
Well, it's a lot of fun for me. And I just try to put the facts out there. And, of course, none of this ever would have happened had it not been for your brother.
Oh.
Because it was when he went off on his first... the history teaching seminar that he's involved in now.
Yes, right.
That I was able to fill in for.
Right. Just talked with him a little while ago.
He's
involved.
He is leading some long days right now.
Yes, right. But he enjoys it.
Yeah.
I caught a lot of the speech tonight, and I noticed he doesn't.
Right. Yeah. You know, he kind of.
Well, you know, he mentioned them in terms of the foreign terrorists blowing themselves up in Iraq, and he said they're from Saudi Arabia, but then he had to add and Iran and Yemen and Syria and Poughkeepsie or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, he had to cover for the Saudis. Because the Saudi, and we're not paying a lot of attention to it, I guess, Paul, but the Saudi royal house is in a real dither right now. I don't know if you caught it or not.
No.
But, you know, the guy we all refer to as Bandar Bush, he has, he's, you know, the Saudi ambassador to the U.S.
Right.
He has submitted his resignation.
Oh.
And he is returning to the kingdom. Because they're saying that the king is not long for this world. And, of course, at that point, Abdullah will be raised in succession. And the royal succession in Saudi Arabia is nothing crystal clear. So, terrible problems with depression. There are reports that he's abusing prescription medication. And it's part of the reason, very few people have noted it, it's part of the reason gas prices are going up again.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, right in the wallet.
Yeah, I know it. It's getting absurd.
What are you paying for a gallon of regular up there?
It jumps 8 cents at a whack. You know?
Yeah, and it's not like you've seen a tank truck pull into the gas station.
No, this is the same stuff that was sitting there before.
Right.
I don't understand that.
I don't think anyone does, except for the fact that we have an ugly little sneaking suspicion that we're being had.
Right. Oh, yeah, every day. I'll let you go, and I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed the program, and I wish you the best of luck, Paul.
Thank you very much, Paul.
And take care of yourself.
All right, I will. You take care.
See you later. Bye.
Bye now. That was awfully nice. And you know what? You can kind of tell he's Dr. Bill's brother. I think maybe a little. Yeah, Dr. Bill's gotten a little bit of West Virginia rubbed off on him in the time he's been here, but those are brothers, no doubt about it. Let's talk to Ed. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good.
When I've been out of town a while.
As the plans go now, it will be Thursday night.
Thursday night?
Mm-hmm.
I can't express more than what the other people have about light for the people. I mean, and hard-nosed light. That's what the people need, and they need to know this kind of stuff that you put out and the heads-up play you got. I can tell you this, that I despise the people that's behind the...
I don't know if I'm talking out of school, but it's my understanding it's going to be Michael Savage.
Well, that sounds right, and that is very representative of Sutherland, or whatever his name is. And I can tell you one thing, I wouldn't buy one thing that sells through that station. I have no use for a person that submits them to the Chamber of Commerce and the politicians. And that's one thing. I know a couple of politicians was in on this because of the exposure that they got on that station. And that's one thing that people could well be informed by, is through your station and the conversation is had, but they don't want that, Bob. It's just another step talked about the news media being shut up. And it's a disgrace.
Well, God willing, I'm not going to stay shut up for too long, Ed.
Well, a lot of us are waiting. You've made a lot of friends. A lot of them don't call because they're not, you know, they don't blabber as well as some of us do. But that be as it may, you've made a lot of friends, and about everybody I know listens to your program. And I want to address a couple things, though.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I listened to some big shot general. Wasn't doing nothing but backing on George Bush on this, trying to tie in Iraq, and wanting us to, the way he put it, we need to let these soldiers know we support them. Well, you know, when you come out and say that, or say, yeah, Republican Party is A1 at turning around and saying, look at the people we got supporting the war.
Exactly.
They won't say that we're supporting them. So I'm not going to say anything about
it. Well, that's what I was talking about with that, you know, that DOD website that Bush announced tonight. And I forget even what the web address was. But they're going to, you know, if people go to that website, they're going to use those statistics to as an argument that America is just in love with this here war.
The fact of the matter is the reflection of his rating should tell him what we support. And any news at all is putting it out right now. I mean, you can't get very much straight news.
No, it's a struggle. You've got to really, really pay attention.
Yeah, well, I just know that they've done their best to tie 9/11 into act on Iraq as they've done the very best they could do. And even tonight, you know, it was same old rhetoric. And I didn't listen. I couldn't stand to listen to him. I listened to him in the part where he said that we're better off to fight over there than over here. You know, I doubt if they got much more than a rowboat over there, as far as I know.
Right.
And how are they going to get here?
Well, the Iraqis couldn't get here, and that's one of the parts that's so scary about all this, Ed, is that our attention is diverted. You know, while we're... Look, we've told the entire world that we can't even subdue little bitty Iraq, just like we couldn't subdue little bitty Vietnam.
Yeah.
And there's a reason you can't do that, because when you go over to somebody else's soil, they've got a better reason for fighting than you do.
That's right. And, you know, they talk about the way they would do our prisoners or what they'd do. You come on my land, and if I tell you to get off, you better look out at night, because I'll visit you. That's exactly what's happened to our boys over there. And the pitiful part of it is that our boys are so innocent, and they're gullible enough.
Oh, I know. But that is the nature of the military. I mean, if we truly want a military that is subordinate to civilian control, then they have got to have they've got to be able to have absolute faith that they are not going to be used cynically, they're not going to be used cruelly, and they're not going to be used immorally.
Well, the young ones don't know any better. They're easily brainwashed. That's the same reason that they won't take somebody with a little age on them in the state troopers, or don't want them in the service either. If they didn't, they'll take them now, though, because of how hard up that it is to get people to go. But that's young people are easy to brainwash. I was talking to some people that worked at the VA, and I was asking them about when this higher prices was going to take effect on our visits and on our medication and so forth. They don't know anything yet, but they said anything. I can't really get into all of it because I would expose the person I talked to.
Yeah.
But they're doing everything they can to help the veteran there. And I've run into one person over there that's a Bush fan, and majority of the people that work there know what the score was, and the one person told me they hated to see his picture hanging.
So, well, I can understand that sentiment. Yeah, the thing is, and I'm glad you raised the issue, Ed. Today, the very same day that Bush was, you know, using those soldiers, and he was using them just like he always uses them, this time they were a backdrop, the Republicans in the House, and people need to know this. I don't know, have it tattooed on their palms or something until the next time they go and vote for a congressional seat. Today, conservative Republicans in the House defeated a vote that would have taken care of the underfunding of the VA. It was the head of the VA now says the VA is underfunded by a solid $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And Chet Edwards, he's a Democrat from Texas, proposed to make up the shortfall in a foreign aid bill that's still under consideration. That happened today. And the Republicans shot down the measure 217 to 189.
Yeah.
Now, that's where the rubber meets the road, Ed. There's the proof in the pudding. There is what conservative Republicans think of our troops.
Yeah. Well, that's what they think of people in general. They don't care. They care about what their views are and nothing else. And it's not their people. And it's like you said something about, of course, the Bush daughters will be going over and helping out the cause, and the other Republican kids will be going over there. So, I mean, you know, I'm saying that facetiously, but it's not hitting home to them. It's not their grandbabies and not their kids that's doing this. And it's a cold, it's so cold-hearted that the people will not accept that is a fact. That is a fact of life, that these people do not care about anything. And there's so much pride on the line by the stinking Republicans now that they can't afford to pull them people out. If a man had real guts, he would get them people out there and not sacrifice another one of them.
Right.
But I just thought I'd call and give some voice. But the main thing is the disgust I have for the management of that station and the owner from being browbeaten into taking your show off.
Well, I gotta be honest. I don't know that anybody was browbeaten, Ed. I really don't.
I mean, there's too many people that has a sense of, and maybe, Bob, that you can't see the tree for the forest, you know, the forest for the trees or whatever. But it's so obvious standing back to me looking at it that there was no, give me a reason why you should go.
I can't. Look, I'm gonna be straightforward. I can't come up with one.
Yeah. Well,
I don't. I mean, I don't want to. It's not like I. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're a very honorable person and upstanding to take the lick on the chin, but it's up to some of the rest of us to intervene and not support that station and anything, especially those realtors on there that run.
Well, what I need more than anything, Ed. What I need more than anything. Is when this thing comes back to life, that's when I'll need support.
You'll have it.
That's,
I mean, yeah. once you tie into the people like you have, you know, and I've heard this from other people, that come on there, and you could tell that it was heart spoken. And that's where I am, and I am just disgusted with what goes on. Other will shut this guy up.
If it is true that the market abhors a vacuum, there's going to be a vacuum, and I'm gonna fill it again. I'm kind of a weeble. I wobble, but I don't fall down.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep at this, and do everything in my power to bring it back to life.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a computer, but I talked to Wayne a little bit ago, and I'm gonna. She don't want one in the house, even though she's a computer person on her job and she's had schooling. But it's like me and Wayne talked. If I have to put it in one of my buildings, I'll do that. But I'm not going that far. It'll come in the house.
Your wife's a sweet human being. Maybe she'll come around if we're doing it just to get the show.
Yeah. Well, she really enjoys your show. I haven't asked her why no computer, but she just said that she wasn't over.
Deal with them day in and day out. Sometimes it's a little hard to deal with. You want to be able to go somewhere that you can get away from.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of my feeling about cell phones too. There's just places on earth I want to be that I'm out of touch. You know what I mean? It'll come back. It will come back. But, Ed, I got to roll along. Good
hearing.
All
right, and I got to go too, Bob. Good
night. All right, good hearing from you. Take care. All right. It is where I didn't get to it, and I wish I had, but you should know, Veterans Affairs Secretary, back in February, he testified under oath that he was satisfied we can get the job done with this budget. And then later on, Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington, tried to add funds into the VA budget, and Nicholson wrote to her, and he said, the VA did not need emergency supplemental funds in FY 2005 to continue to provide timely quality service that is always our goal. Well, that's all changed. He now says that his department is $1 billion in the red with 3 months left in the fiscal year because he says money's been shifted around in accounts to cover the immediate shortfall, but he says Congress has got to help him with the fiscal 2006 budget. They were expecting the VA was. This goes to this is the effect that a lie has. They were told to expect about 25,000 vets from the war on terror during the current fiscal year. Well, that's not quite what he wound up with. There's more than 100,000.
1,000 Iraq and Afghan war veterans seeking service. $1 billion. That request was put forward in the House of Representatives today, and a bunch of godless, soulless, unpatriotic, un-American, pro-communist Chinese, oddly enough, stomped on vets, spit on vets, to the tune of a 217 to 189. All right, that's it. The show tonight, of course, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor and brought to you as, well, not as ever, but for the next couple of days, by the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation, all 20,000 members. If you're, hey, Agnes. We'll be right back.